The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted away. Please be seated. As I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, today is the feast of the Most Holy or the Most Blessed Trinity. We celebrate this feast day every year on the first Sunday after Pentecost. And we do this because, in a certain sense, it sums up everything that's gone before and gets us ready for the summer weeks to follow. Before this day, we've celebrated the ascension of Jesus into heaven, the last act of his life on earth in his incarnate body, and then the descent of the Holy Spirit, which is the completion of what God wants to tell us about himself, and then this feast of the Holy Trinity sums up, as it were, everything that's gone before, our belief about God, and our gratitude that God has revealed himself to us, that he has given us names by which we can call him, wonderful names, names that express relationship, Father and Son. Those words we can recognize from our human experience. But the third name that God's given us is a name that is different. It's common to us in our speech, Holy Spirit, but it means something quite different from our human experience. We live in a world of matter. We live in a world of things that we can sense, see, hear, touch, smell, taste. But when we speak about Spirit, we're speaking about life itself, but something that is different, intangible, insensible to us. Like the wind, he comes and goes, but his effects on us are great indeed. Now, throughout the centuries, the Catholic Church in particular, and all Christians, have identified ourselves as believers in the Trinity. This is an essential part of our religious faith and identity. And without it, we're no longer considered Christians. There are certain churches and groups that have branched off from traditional Christianity, but have given up belief in the Trinity. The Unitarian Church is one such. And so technically, it's not considered Christian. The Mormon Church believes in many gods. They believe that God the Father has a wife who's a goddess. Christ similarly is married and has spirit wives who are gods. And you or I, when we die, could become such a god. That's a distortion of Christian faith. That's a stepping away. And so the Mormons are not considered Christian. I don't mean simply by Catholics. We are the toughest bunch in town, after all, right? But by other Protestant churches, they're technically not considered Christian. And so, if you convert from Mormonism to a Christian Protestant church or to Roman Catholicism, you have to be baptized again, because the first baptism is not what we believe or intend when we baptize. So belief in the Trinity is one of these absolutely necessary pillars of our identity as Catholic Christians. The second one is the incarnation. That word incarnation means entering flesh, becoming flesh, becoming man. When the Son of God became present in the womb of the Virgin Mary, that is the incarnation. And that too is absolutely essential for our identity as Christians. Over the centuries, the Church has found language to speak about the Trinity that is logical, non-contradictory. But it is language that is taken from words and truths expressed in the Scriptures and then expressed in human words to be clear, concise, and communicative. But that doesn't mean that what we affirm is always easy to grasp. And that's because God, after all, is infinitely greater than we are. And so our minds cannot grasp him. That's important for us to know. Even when we get to heaven and see God face to face, we will not be able to understand everything about him. Technically, theologians tell us in heaven, we will have not a comprehensive knowledge of God, that means taking it all in, we'll have an apprehensive knowledge of God. Now, I don't mean apprehensive in the sense of fearful. I mean apprehensive in the sense of grabbing on and not letting go. When a policeman apprehends a criminal, he takes him into custody. He's got him. When we come to heaven and see God face to face, our knowledge of God will be apprehensive. It will be sure, it will be certain, but it cannot include everything. That's a remarkable thing to stop and think about. Sometimes the saints themselves have to learn these lessons. One of our greatest saints and writers is Saint Augustine. And Augustine wrote a marvelous book on the Trinity in the 400s. But even he himself had to understand that there are limitations to the knowledge that's possible for us. So Augustine tells a story of something that happened to him that made this clear. He was walking along the shore on a beach in Hippona on the North African coast where he was bishop. And as he walked along, he saw a little boy who had dug a hole in the sand. And the boy had a spoon. And he was going back and forth between the ocean and the hole, taking a spoonful of water each time and carefully carrying it over to the hole and pouring it inside. And Augustine watched him do this over and over again. And he said to the little one, "What are you doing?" And he said in reply, "I'm going to empty the ocean and put it in my hole. I dug it." And Augustine said to him, "Your hole is tiny. And your spoon is tiny. You're never going to be able to fit the whole ocean into that hole." And the little boy said, "I'll get the ocean into that hole before you get the Holy Trinity into your head." And Augustine says with that, the child disappeared. And he realized that God had sent him an angel to teach him a great lesson. Now, we do have words. We do have things that we can say about God. And especially in times in which there is confusion or in which there's danger of someone having a wrongful understanding, the Church replies often with statements which we call creeds. We will use the Nicene Creed in just a few minutes. And that speaks at length about the Trinity. And if you look at it carefully, you'll see that the whole statement, the whole creed, is divided into three sections: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And various things that we believe in, aspects of our faith, are hung like a door on hinges from each of those three names. In 1964, Pope Paul VI decided to compose a new creed, not to be used at Mass, but simply something for modern men and women to read to be helpful for them, for us. He called it the Credo of the People of God. And so I want to read you a paragraph from it in which he speaks about the Holy Trinity. Now, here again, as you listen to me, you'll realize to understand takes attention, even for the simplest of words. We believe in only one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe that this only God is absolutely one in his infinitely holy essence, as also in all his perfections, in his omnipotence, which means almightiness, his infinite knowledge, his providence, his will, and his love. He is he who is, as revealed to Moses, and he is love, as the Apostle John teaches us. So that these two names, being and love, express perfectly the same divine reality of him who has wished to make himself known to us, and who, dwelling in light inaccessible, is in himself above every name, above every thing, and above every created mind. God alone can give us right and full knowledge of this reality by revealing himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in whose eternal life we are by grace called to share here below in the obscurity of faith, and after death in eternal light. The mutual bonds which eternally constitute the three persons, who are each one and the same divine being, are the blessed inmost life of God thrice holy, infinitely beyond all that we can conceive in human measure. Now, what's important for us to remember is that this perfect God, so great, so far beyond us, created us out of love and revealed himself to us. He gave us the name Father by which to call him so that we could trust in him. He gave us his Son in human form with a human body and a human face to live among us, to teach us, to correct our mistakes, to forgive us our sins, and to show us God's mercy in human heroic terms that we can understand. And finally, he gave us his Holy Spirit so that what Jesus accomplished 2,000 years ago would never be simply a thing of the past, but is living and powerful and active in our lives today. This Holy Spirit acts on and in each one of us, but does so without ever infringing upon God's gift of free will. God has given each of us a gift of free will by which we can choose, and he never takes that away from us. In order to help us, in order to bring us to himself, because God wants us to know him not just through names, but face to face, he continues to save us. The work of his Son is made present for us when he comes down on the altar in the Mass and comes to each of us in Holy Communion so that we can be transformed, so that we can become the best human men and women that we are capable of being, and so that we can become, by God's grace and gift, more than this. We can become divine, not other gods, as the Mormon Church would have it, but rather filled with divine life, so that we are able to live forever in happiness and see God face to face and know Him as He knows us and love Him as He loves us. And that begins here on earth. It begins with the efforts that we make today, right now. And if we fail, if we falter, if we turn and look the other way or make other choices, we can come back. We can turn around. We can start again. We can be forgiven. We can know what it is to be sons and daughters once more, because our perfectly merciful, all-powerful God treats us in this way, loves us in this way, and wants us to be happy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.